Hi, and welcome to Math and Musings. I'm Mike O'Connell, creator of Math and Musings, and your host. Stay tuned for 15 minutes of science, politics, news, and opinion. In other words, Math and Musings. Today's date is Friday, March 24th, 2023. This is Season 3, Episode 12 of our show. Getting into it with some March Madness today. Speaking of 12, that is the number of teams that are left in the tournament. Yeah, we've gone from 68 down to 12. And this is the first podcast that I've recorded, not in real time, but at least remotely close to when it airs. I can, let's see, how do I prove it? Like, how do I prove that this really is recorded? Let's see, when I'm recording this, there are 16 teams left. One of them is Princeton. Like, you wouldn't have guessed that. I also would not have been able to predict probably that a school called Fairleigh Dickinson University, which everyone's Googling that one after. I knew sort of where they were. It was the kind of team that, like, okay, they're definitely going to get through their first round game because they were one of the Dayton games, which is growing on me, by the way. Those games... More on that later. I always figure a team from a big city, like, I think it's Teaneck, New Jersey. Like, I think of Fairleigh Dickinson as, like, okay, greater New York area. Team from New York City, that they're going to win a big money game over, let's see, who are they playing? Texas Southern. I don't even know where Texas Southern is. Somewhere in the southern part of Texas, I guess. But that they would beat Purdue, yeah, that's a little bit surprising. The thing that it did for me was... I live in Virginia, and I root for the Cavaliers. It kind of took them off the hook as being the only number one seed ever to lose to a 16 in the first round. And I hate to talk too much about this. I'm certainly not going to mention Gonzaga again. For all I know, they're out by now. I made this mistake last year that on this day last year, the two teams that I mentioned were Gonzaga and Arizona. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be Gonzaga and Arizona going to the finals. Like, nope, that definitely did not happen because between the time when I recorded it and the time that it actually aired, like, those teams were already out. Like, literally minutes after these teams lose, then, on a Thursday night, and then the podcast drops at midnight on Friday. It's like, whoops. So, all right, best not to make any predictions. I'm especially upset about the Arizona loss, too, because... The thing is, I'm like, next weekend, Final Four weekend, I'm going to be in Tucson. And I had visions of, like, partying on Speedway Boulevard while the, Wildcats are playing in the Final Four. Like, that would have been fun. But anyway, still going to be a fun vacation. I'll regale you with the tales when I return. So I hate to jinx anybody because I'm on a streak. I'm like the new Sports Illustrated cover jinx right here. Couple episodes in March. The first one, I talked at length about Jim Boeheim and the Syracuse game I went to as a kid. And I was like, oh, can you believe it? Boeheim is still the coach. And then, like, a couple days later, after 47 years of being the coach, no, he ain't the coach anymore. He's, I imagine he's playing golf right now with Patrick Ewing, who I talked about the following week. This would have been the March 10th episode. I talked about Patrick Ewing because I talked about going to see the Knicks play. And Ewing, definitely my favorite player as a kid, no question. He's the Don Mattingly of basketball that I saw. And, like, well, I wasn't paying as much attention, but my dad was, and his dad, who had gone to Georgetown, class of 1934. And on the 50th anniversary of Morris O'Connell's Georgetown graduation in 1984, they win a national championship. And Ewing comes, plays for the Knicks professionally and then goes back and it takes the head coaching job at Georgetown. Has been there for the last, I think it was 6 or 7 years he was there. And days after I talk about him on the podcast, he's out. He's out as a Georgetown coach. So unbelievable. By the way, both of those characters figure prominently into a book I just finished. It's publication date's 2021, but I'm just getting around to it now. Dana O'Neill, college basketball writer at the Atlantic, or the Atlantic, the Athletic, among other places. She wrote a book. It was called The Big East. And here, I gotta look up the subhead here. It's a paragraph. Inside the most entertaining and influential conference in college basketball history. No question. The Big East of the 1980s, that was the real Big East, the Big East of my youth, of Boeheim and Ewing and John Thompson and Lou Carnesecca, P.J. Carlesimo. All those guys figure prominently into the book, and it describes so much of my youth. I love reading, like, basically about my own childhood. So much of my youth was spent watching college basketball during March and following the NCAA tournament. Those are like seminal moments for me as a young man. I know I mentioned this last year too, like getting a copy of the USA Today. It had to be USA Today on Monday morning, the day after brackets came out. Did it again this year, went with, because my dad would always pick one up for me this year, or like, you know, these years, I'm the dad, like, I'm the old man in the story now, and going with my son to the Shell station in Lansdowne that I never go to but once a year, pay $3.18. Yeah, they charge tax on newspapers around here. Anyway, $3.18 for basically like three sheets of paper folded together. It's very pathetic. But hey, I'm getting the thing. They got my $3, and I enjoyed reading the capsules and the about the teams and their predictions and such. It's really not a whole lot to it. I mean, it's a drop in the ocean compared to what you can get online. It's amazing what you can get online now as far as team matchups and everything that are updated constantly. You know, the newspaper doesn't update. It's the news feed that once you print it out on your piece of paper, it does not update anymore. It's not the Harry Potter newspaper. But that was my childhood on Mondays, you know, studying the thing up. There have only been a couple changes that I've appreciated. One, that I do like the Dayton games now, the first four games. Those have grown on me. Like, I was kind of poo-pooed those. Everyone did at the beginning. First there was one, and they added three more. And that the games run late. Like, you've got games until midnight, past midnight. They even had Jim Nance on the call past midnight on Saturday. That surprised me. Nance in his final four coming up for Mr. Nance. In his, well, one of his hometowns could be announcing his alma mater as well. Oops, there I go, making predictions. So that the game's going past midnight on Saturday and Sunday, that opening weekend, definitely a win. I think, you know, it always used to end for 60 minutes on Sundays in my youth. Still love the noon starts, even though, I mean, I get it. It's a business. I'm not deluding myself. It's all for TV. And, like, obviously you're getting better advertising rates in primetime, but they don't put all the games on during primetime. So the games still start at noon, and I have to, like, make sure I'm looking at things on my lunch break and then, like, telling my students, like, no, put your phones away. Like, look, everybody, I want to look at basketball scores, too. I want to watch these games, too. But, you know, every once in a while, you know, you got that tab open on your computer, peek at the thing. From about, I don't know, maybe second or third grade up through seventh grade, I was somehow managed to be absent from school. I had some mysterious March illness come down every year, the first day of the NCAA tournament. I always seemed to be absent on that Thursday and or Friday. That was several years in a row before maybe somebody finally got wise. I know I had perfect attendance in eighth grade. I do remember that. I finished off my middle school experience. The first time I went to middle school. Now I'm in middle school for the second time. The first time around at West Junior, that was West Middle School. I had perfect attendance in eighth grade. Up through seventh, I was missing that first day. Anyway, I had early success with the brackets as a young man, like really studying the games, and then always thinking like, oh, is there a chance I could do this perfectly? I tell you what I tell my students now. If your bracket is no longer perfect, you are in good company. The odds of getting a perfect bracket, this comes up and up often, and I ask my students this because we get to practice a lot of math this way. Odds of getting it, I have my students try to guess, and they're like, oh, is it 1 out of 100, 1 out of 1,000, 1 out of 1,000,000? I say, kids, it's more like this. It's like, okay, pick a number between 1 and 1,000,000, get it exactly right, and then do it again. Like, I'm going to pick a different number, you're going to do it again, and then do it a third time. It's more like that. It's actually a little bit harder to do than that, actually. The number of brackets possible, it's like getting, you know, let's say all the games are 50-50. It's like flipping a coin and getting it right 63 times in a row. I mean, if you're going to look at 63 games, it's 1 over 2 to the 63rd power. In other words, 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2, 63 times. Keep doubling the number. The number is roughly 9.2 quintillion. That's a 9 with 18 zeros. It's actually a little bit more than that, actually. So if you wonder, like, how big is this number really? The 1 out of a million, out of a million, out of a million. I give that to one of my students. And then this one, it's as well, what do you think is bigger, that number or the number of square inches that cover the surface of the Earth? Like, if you were to split up the Earth into square inches, that's a good area question. First of all, we know that the Earth is three-dimensional. How are you taking square, an area of this, like square units? Like, first of all, your mind is blown by that. Then I think, well, I can approximate this. Number of square inches on the Earth, I'm taking somebody's word for it, I've never measured, is smaller than the number of brackets, possible brackets. So I always tell my students, all right, imagine there's an alien out there in outer space, and I've told him, all right, I've selected one square inch at random on the Earth. You know, fire your laser beam at the Earth. See if you can get it. The alien is 10 times as likely to come to Earth with doing that than he is, you know, firing a laser beam at random. 10 times likely to do that than to come to Earth with a perfect bracket. So it's of a high order. It's like, let's say, and the last one is, let's say there are a lottery among every human being on the planet. Your name gets chosen as random. You're one out of the nearing 8 billion people here. But before you get the prize, your name's called. But before you get the prize, you have to correctly guess a random number between 1 and 1,000,000,000. You have to do that also. And actually, that's not even the number of perfect brackets. It's pretty close. So as I say on the blog, this is all there at michaelconnelljr.com. It kind of puts that Purdue loss in perspective, right? It's a mind-boggling number. Something to think about every spring. Like, there are certain rites of spring for me. It's, you know, watching the NCAA tournament, eating Reese's peanut butter cups, because, hey, you know, if you don't patronize the sponsors, it's like you're stealing basketball. You know, you're stealing the content. That's why I gotta hit up Pizza Hut one of these days too. We made it to Papa John's. We tried that cheese on the bottom pizza. That's the new and unusual food item. Papa John's, squeezing in cheese on the bottom. And, geez, I got to pick up a Capital One Venture card one of these days, too. I'll hit all the sponsors. So that's something for you to think about. And then the story I always mention, which, you know, is going back to the old Big East in the days of Seton Hall, when my, this would have been 12th grade math teacher, Mr. McGowan, who I basically became Mr. McGowan years later, I'm the math teacher now, who let us listen to that Seton Hall win over Oregon, and I think it was 2000. It was either 99 or 2000, that game we listened to on the radio at the end of math class on a Friday once. That was still one of the highlights of my growing up. And then, lo, these many years later, I'm the math teacher who is saying, kids, put your phone away. Oh, all right, I'm going to sneak a peek at the scores for 1 second, too. Okay. Gotta live a little. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed the presentation for today. For more math or more musings, well, you can head to MikeOConnellJr.com.